God. Oh, thank God he can. The word said he can do exceeding abundantly above anything that we ask, anything that we think. Thank God, that's my God. I said, that's my God. Is that your God tonight? Well, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you tonight want it? Nobody. Let me ask that again. How many of you want it? Don't even know what it is, but you want it. I heard a preacher say one time, God was really moving. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord was just coming down. People just shouting all over the place. I may have said the same thing some of you preachers probably have as well. If this ain't that, it'll do to that gets here. Oh, thank God. Those old time moves of the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, thank God. We had one of them around here last night. God talked our hearts, did he not? Thank God, Brother Bobby brought us a word of God. I'm telling you, take counsel in that word. You may not find an answer anywhere else, but I promise you, you can find it in the word of God. Oh, thank God, thank God. Stand with us for the reading of the word tonight. We're going to be in Acts chapter number 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. It's going to sound like I'm preaching two messages tonight. Maybe I am. I don't know. Praise the Lord. God's going to help us here tonight. Hallelujah. Brother Joe, appreciate the opportunity to be able to declare the Word of God here tonight. There's a lot of preachers could have done a lot better job. Thank God, but we're the one here tonight in this place. And thank God, if Lord, just help us here tonight. We'll allow God to move. And I want, before you leave this place tonight, I want you to make your mind up that you're going to serve Him in a greater way than you ever have before. You say, Brother Danny, I'm happy with just getting by. Just getting by. You know, I preached Sunday morning. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if we left it at that and all went home, it would all be sad. All we got to worry about is the thief. But then he said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so if we're going to have abundant life, why don't we enjoy the journey to heaven? Why are we going to wait to heaven to have abundant life? Thank God we can have it right here. All right, Acts chapter number 2, verse number 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let me tell you a secret. If you ever get one of these Bibles with these long things on them and they get in the way of your zippers, don't cut them off because they're no use. They're no good to you anymore. Because they ain't long enough to do anything. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the master is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Father, I simply ask you to help and anoint me here tonight. Hide me, O God, in the cross, that I may be able, God, to deliver what I know, God, that you spoke to my heart regarding. Anoint every listener in this house Touch us, oh God, I pray. And it is in your name, God. Let me follow your Spirit, God. Let me follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. And God, I pray that you, God, at the end of this service, will be the one to receive all glory. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I asked you a question a while ago. How many of you want it? I'm going to title this tonight, "You Can Have It If You Want It." Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can have it. But you got to want it. It can't be some kind of fly by night, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. There's got to be some seriousness about this thing. But you see, here's where we are. Peter begins in Acts 2 and 14. He's reacting to the comments being made about the behavior of those 120 that's been filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the day of Pentecost, and the Word says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you know the rest of the story. And these men, they're saying they've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but these other men are saying they're full of new wine. And Peter says, these are not drunken as you suppose. I preached a message one time and I kind of robbed the title that we're not as drunk as we're supposed to be. Think about that one. But he said, they're not drunken as you suppose. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Peter continued to tell them that the Jesus that they'd been prophesied to come is this same Jesus that have just been crucified, and he's been made both Lord and Christ. And in Acts 2 and 37, we see the reaction to the message. As Brother Bobby preached last night, when the message comes forth, there will be a reaction. I said there will be a reaction when it comes forth under the anointing of Almighty God. The Word said they were pricked in their hearts. When they heard this, when they heard the message, when they realized what they had done, they were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted of, my goodness, again, to have the conviction of God back in the house of God, where people shook under the power of the Holy Ghost of God, where they saw themselves as God saw them and understood, I got to do something. I got to make a difference. I got to change my life. What I'm doing now, because what I'm feeling, I don't like what I'm feeling now. I feel convicted. I feel like God has found me. He's arrested me. I'm telling you what, folks, tonight, that's what I want to see again, is conviction back in the house of God. Conviction. Conviction back in the house of God. Where the sinner has to sit there, and not only just the sinner. We talk about preaching to the sinners, and I don't know tonight. I don't know every one of you. If I looked out tonight, most of you seem like you're ready to go. Seem like you've already given your heart and life to God. And I'm not talking about necessarily a salvation or not. But if you're not saved, you need to get saved. I said, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And I believe it was either Brother Bobby or Brother Joe said last night, this precious Holy Ghost, it comes after salvation. Oh, thank God. I don't care what kind of room they're going to take you back in and talk about, see my tie, tie my tie. Oh, thank God. Ain't none of that real. I said, ain't none of that real. Give me what's real again. What's going to change the hearts and lives of people again that makes a difference. Oh, thank God, in the life of a man, woman, boy, girl. Give me something. Give me something that's going to make a difference. The Bible said they were convicted. They were pricked in their hearts. Oh, they'd been arrested. I said they had been arrested. Oh, thank God. Oh, hallelujah. One day I just sitting there just minding my own business. One day I just sitting there thinking about how I was going to get all them bees checked tomorrow. Thinking about all of that. But all of a sudden, I begin to feel the Holy Ghost. I begin to feel the Spirit of the Lord. He found me, Brother Joe. I said, He found me. You say, Brother Danny, you mean after you're saved, the Holy Ghost still convicts you? You better let Him convict you. I said, you better let Him convict you. That's what's wrong today. We're looking at everybody else and saying, I'm better than they are. I'm better than they are. But am I better than He is? Thank God, as Brother Tobert preached one time, compare it to the shackle of the sanctuary. Well, glory to the Lamb of God. The Word of God said we compare ourselves among ourselves. We're not wise. Compare ourselves among ourselves. We're not wise. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, but I want to be sensitive to that Holy Ghost. I said, I want to be sensitive. I want Him to find me. I said, I want Him to find me. Oh, thank God. Something inside of them, it stirred them to feel this sense of having done wrong. It moved them to the point of wanting to make a change. I said, it moved them to the point of wanting to make a change. So many people come in the house of God. They know, they may know that there's something there, but the conviction upon them is not enough to get them to move, because they're just comfortable in where they are. They're not uncomfortable enough to move. When you get uncomfortable enough to move by the Spirit of God, thank God you'll move. I said you'll move. When the Spirit of God gets on me, I gotta move. Thank God I gotta move. So it moved them, brother. Moved them. I said it moved them. Oh, don't get quiet on me. This is only message number one. In a minute I'm gonna use a Holy Ghost bow if I can. Tie it all together. Move them to ask Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preacher, I've heard it long enough. Oh, hallelujah. I heard somebody say from somebody a story one time. They were talking about coming to the altar, and the preacher was asking them, wanting to know exactly what it was that he said, exactly what it was that caused them to get to that precipice where they could just jump on over and try to understand it's time to get on up to the altar. And I believe the story went was, preacher, I don't know what you said. I just felt the Spirit of God. I don't know what you said. You say, well, the word's important. It is important. But the word killeth. But the Spirit gives it life. Thank God for the Spirit of God. It's still real. It's still bubbling up in the hearts of men and women. And that's what causes change in people. Not only does that cause change, but that's what causes the desire to change. Oh, again. Oh, where they sit on that bench. Where they sit on that bench. And they begin to squirm. And they begin to say, oh, my goodness. Like the princess and the pea. You just can't sit there. There's just something stirring. It ain't anything necessarily that the preacher's preaching with eloquence of words. It's not anything that, but they found out that the Spirit of God has found them. No, the preacher don't know what you've been doing. I don't know what you've been doing. As a matter of fact, I don't know a whole whole lot of you here intimately anyway, all of you by name anyway. I thank you, by the way, the ones that came from Indian Ford Victory Fellowship Church tonight. I thank you for being here. And I know a little bit of Brother Whitfield's, Brother Joe's church at Whitfield, but some of you I don't even know. I don't know what your lifestyle is. Oh, thank God, but I know one that does. I said, I know one that does. Oh, thank God. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Found me. What shall we do? We got to do something. We got to do something to relieve this deep and overwhelming sense of guilt that we're feeling. Aren't we glad for that feeling? Paul said, I wrote you that letter. I made you sorry. Oh, but I'm not sorry. I made you cry. I made you feel bad about it. I made you want to get under the bench. I made you want to slide your toes under, put your steel toe shoes on, one or the other. I made you do all of that, but I ain't a bit sorry over that, because it brought you to a place. Hallelujah. I said it brought you to a place that God's been trying to get you to. And tonight, church, that's my desire by the Spirit of God, that you get to that place that you say, I want it, Brother Danny. I want it. I want this relationship. I want this fervency. I want this favor of God in my life. I'm not talking about just salvation. Oh my goodness. We talk about miracles and all of that, and salvation is really one of the biggest miracles. When a man's life is changed by the Spirit of God, what a miracle that is. But oh, God never intends you and me just to stop at salvation. Oh my goodness, listen. Why don't we want it tonight? You can have it. You say, Brother Danny, what is it? Let me back up and tell you what it is. They said, what shall we do? That was for salvation. And Peter told them, said, you just gotta repent. That's what you got to do. I know it goes on a little bit further there, but the main thing was repent. I don't even get baptized if you don't repent. Only difference in a person ain't repented getting baptized is wet and dry. That's the only difference. Ain't nothing to that. Thank God, if you're going to go that route to get baptized, repent first. You got to do that. But what is it? It is that desire to draw closer to God. And when you and I get to that place that we are unhappy where we are in God, that not only are we unhappy, but as the Spirit of God anoints the preaching and even the singing and the reading of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word and just you praying and meditate on God, and you begin to feel His Spirit and His presence, and you begin to realize God's got something else for me. God's got a higher place. God's got higher heights. God's got deeper depths, and that's where I want to go. When you get to that place, that after a while it begins to gnaw on you. It begins to shake you. It begins to stir you. It begins to make you unsatisfied of where you are. You see, that's what's wrong with the house of God today. So many people are so satisfied. Thank God, give me somebody that's ready to move up. I said, give me somebody that's ready to move up in God. How much? How many things does God want to do in your life, in my life? I want that tonight. I want God's favor tonight. I don't want to just tiptoe through this thing, and right after I enter the pearly gates, I hear click. Listen, I don't believe we ought to have that. I believe if we're going to be victorious, we ought to be victorious. I think if we're going to have and see God may deliver people, I believe we're going to have to get again back to a place to where there can be a conduit between us and God for that deliverance to happen. But it's so stopped up now that God can't move. I want it unstopped. I said I want it unstopped. Let the Spirit of God begin to flow again in my heart and in the house of God. In my heart and in the house of God. Jesus told his disciples after he left this earth, he said he'd not leave them alone, but he'd send them another comforter. And when the comforter has come, he'd reprove the world of sin. He'll bring conviction of sin. It's sin that separates folks. It's God's Spirit that causes someone to experience this feeling of conviction for having sin, whether sin of commission or sin of omission. However, when that conviction is felt, that's when it gives the heart that opportunity to change. I said that's when it gives the heart that opportunity to change. I made a statement in my church Sunday morning. I said, you know, the Bible said my spirit went on always strive with man. I know the Word of God said that, but I don't know exactly what that means for every individual. I don't know where that limit is with God, but I will tell you this. I do believe that you can go so far and get so messed up in your mind and believe that there's no way that you can get saved, that the Spirit of God may be on your deathbed, may not be able to deal with you because you won't let it. I said because you won't let it. Oh, but I'm telling you, when that conviction comes, that's the time right then. I said, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till next year. Don't say I'll do it next revival. Don't say I'll do it tomorrow. Thank God. Do it right now when the Spirit of God is moving upon your heart. Do it right now. Do it right now. Today is the day of salvation. Heard a preacher say one time, said that the devil does not care if you get saved. Doesn't. Doesn't care if you get saved. He just wants you to do it tomorrow. I got to get going. I got a long ways to go. I promise I will be done by now. Is my watch stopped? All right. You see, this is what they failed on that day. What I need to do to make this feeling go away. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when I find myself and I begin to see myself like God sees me. It ain't pretty. I said, it ain't pretty. I don't like it. I mean, talking about even if I'm really on fire for God, I think, oh my goodness, I can look at somebody else and see the way God's blessing them. And I'm not covetous over that. That just lets me know there's still another place you can get, Danny Carney. You ain't arrived yet. Even Paul said, I've not even attained. I've not got it all. But there's one thing I'm doing. I'm pressing. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank God we need some folks again that oppress this thing. Conviction can lead us to draw closer and have a more fervent relationship with Christ. You can have it if you want it. We can find ourselves seeing the need to draw closer to Him in all sorts of ways. Maybe we're convicted through an anointed message preached. His Spirit reveals to us some of our shortcomings. Maybe something we read. As I said a while ago, yeah, we're saved on our way to heaven, but in every child of God, in every child of God, there should be a fervent desire to move closer to Him each day. As James said, if we'll draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us. Oh, thank God. Oh, you can have it if you want it. As I move toward Him, He moves toward me. The idea of a fervent relationship with God does not happen automatically. Anything worth having is worth working for. No, we don't, nor can we work for salvation. But if we want the increase of the favor of God, then we want to see greater manifestations of God's Spirit. If we want to live closer to Him, then we're going to have to do something. You're not going to wake up just one morning and be a B.H. Clendenin. Because He didn't do that. He said, "Oh, Brother Danny, I don't really want all of that." Well, why in the world not? If you serve a God with unlimited resources in the Spirit, why wouldn't you want to have everything God can give? Why wouldn't we want to have God move us in the gifts of faith and the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of healing, and walk in there to that Santa Rosa Hospital and raise about three or four of them up that said the doctor said they got cancer, and this one here is in the intensive care, and they wait, the family's already gathered around, and they're just deciding on whether or not to pull the plug, but that man of God steps in there, plays his hands on them, and said, "Death be gone, thank God." All of a sudden begins to wiggle around because the power of God has been manifested. You say, can we do that today? If we don't believe it, we might as well leave. I said, if we don't believe that, we might as well leave. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, no wonder Jesus said that you got to strive to enter in. Anything we do in this life, we have to work for to gain the reward. It takes discipline and it takes perseverance. No wonder He said in Matthew 16, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father in heaven. Oh, we must allow the Holy Spirit to convict us or convince us of a closer, more fervent relationship with Christ, because it's available if you want it. When you become satisfied, it's hard to be convinced otherwise. It's hard to be convinced otherwise. 1 Corinthians 9. You didn't think I was going to get there. Paul writing to the Corinthian church about the necessity of the disciplined life of a Christian. You can have it if you want it. He alludes to three of the events in the Isthmian Games, sort of like our Olympics: running, wrestling, and boxing. Well, at least two people's laughing about that. He says they're all involved in the activity and the race. They all run. They all compete. But only one's going to receive the prize. The prize is a wreath of olive leaves or pine needles made to wear on the head. Paul says, run that you may obtain. This relationship with Christ has been referred to as a walk, a journey, a run, a fight. But here he says, unlike those competing in those earthly games for a crown that will fade away, this spiritual race that we're in, we all have the opportunity to win and receive the prize. Isn't that good to know? Thank God some of you here may get there before I do, but I can still get there. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you may gain the favor of God before I do. Some of you may have the gift of healing in your life before I do. But thank God it's still available for me, and I can have it if I want it. His admonishment, he was assuring them, everybody has the same opportunity. We can all make it. Not just part of the way, but all the way. His admonishment is to run, to get in the race. If you don't run, you can't win. Every man that striveth, or every man that competes for the prize, regardless of the event, our event in this race is that we are to get to heaven and to serve God. We've begun the race, finish it, complete the course. Paul said that these strive for mastery, that they're temperate, they've got self-control in all things. There is an excessively regimental schedule that these athletes must follow. These competitors are disciplined in all their activities. But you see, discipline has become a dirty word in the house of God. I'm not talking about getting on to people. I'm talking about being consistent in our life with God. If you're going to be consistent with Him, you're going to have to be disciplined. Those athletes, they get up early every morning. Hey, some of them in the Olympics, if you study out some of their lives and their lifestyles, they're practicing practically all day long for years and years just to get something that is corruptible, just to get something that's going to fade away. Oh, the Bible said inside 1 Timothy 4 and 8, it said, "For bodily exercise profiteth little. What we do in our body helps only the outer shell. It does nothing to help the spirit man. However, spiritual exercise produces godliness, and spiritual exercise is the only way for the soul to prosper. It does one little good to be healthy and wealthy if the soul's not prospering." These competitors to which Paul was referring can only function at their maximum potential if they're physically fit, if they do what they know to take care of their bodies. The only way that this can be done is by practicing physical discipline. But let me tell you, you and I can only function at our maximum potential spiritually if we are spiritually fit. And the only way we can be spiritually fit is by practicing spiritual discipline. Think about the importance of physical activity and exercise, as well as a good diet on all our physical bodies. Think about an even greater importance of spiritual activity and exercise and a good spiritual diet on our spirit man. It's been scientifically and medically proven that a physically undisciplined lifestyle can lead to a litany of medical complications in the body. Not getting the proper amount of exercise on a regular basis, you're at a risk of losing some 6% of your body's muscle mass every decade of life from age 30 on. That means 10 to 15% loss of strength per decade. In other words, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. I said, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. How long's it been since you spoke in tongues? How long's it been since you shouted around these altars? How long's it been since you run up and down these aisles? How long has it been that you spent all night in prayer? How long has it been since you spent a few hours reading God's Word? Are you spiritually fit today? If you don't use it, you'll lose it. But you can have it if you want it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a few more minutes. Oh, hallelujah. The majority, listen to this. I didn't get this from somebody. I wrote this down from the Lord. The majority of the church's spiritual activity is comparable to the physical activity one might get lifting the heavier grocery bags out of the back of the car. It's only about once a week or every other week, and only because it's got to be done. Say it again, Brother Danny. I said the majority of the church's spiritual activity is comparable to somebody coming, unloading their groceries out of the car and lifting up the heavier bags. Oh, I'm working out today. I'm working out today. Oh, my spirit man ought to really be growing today. Once a week, twice a month, sometimes less than that, and only if it has to be done. You see, I don't know how often you go grocery shopping. According to the U.S. CDC, over 54% of adults don't do the minimum level of exercise or physical activity recommended for wellness. I wonder what the statistics would be on the church members. How much spiritual activity do we get because we're not disciplined, because we don't want it? Because when conviction comes, he's always talking about somebody else. Physical exercise lowers your risk for diabetes, which can lead to death. It lowers your risk of having a stroke by 25%. Strokes can leave people immobile, not always, but often caused by high blood pressure. Too many Christians have spiritual high blood pressure, which will eventually lead to spiritual death. Physical inactivity can lead to problems with the heart. Spiritual inactivity causes the spiritual heart not to function right. Won't be concerned about our fellow man, won't be concerned about our relationship with God because our heart's going to be too weak. The brain functions better when the body is physically active. Philippians 2 said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Being physically fit decreases your chance of cancer by as much as 30 to 40%. We got too many cancers in the church today. Cancer of rebellion, the cancer of pride, cancer of unbelief, cancer of unforgiveness, cancer of jealousy. All these tumors that keep the body from operating properly, all because somebody said, "I'm not going to be spiritually fit because I don't have enough discipline about me to get where God wants me to be." Church, you can have it if you want it. I said, you can have it if you want it. Do you want it tonight? I said, do you want it? Another way one can be physically unfit in addition to inactivity, and I save this for last, is a poor diet or an improper diet. Lack of discipline in choices of food and portion amounts can lead to some of these same health problems. Although a poor diet alone can lead to excessive weight gain, combine this with inactivity, you got a surefire formula for unwanted weight and all the medical complications associated with obesity. What does this have to do with our spirit man? Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. All those gone before us testified of how faith in God and what faith in God to do. And then in that very first verse of chapter number 12, he said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us." Extra weight will slow you down in the spirit. Where's your diet coming from? I said, what are you eating spiritually today? What are we eating spiritually today? I had an old preacher one time several years ago. I heard him say, "I don't eat from a trash can. If I'm going to feed the people, I can't be eating out of a garbage can. Oh, thank God, give me somebody that's found the Word of God, that's found the power of God, and let that person get behind the pulpit and declare the Word of God." What kind of spiritual diet do we have? What are we allowing to be taken into this body? Through our eyes, through our ears. How much of God's Word are we consuming? How much of this world are we taking in? We must lay off the extra weights and the sins that keep us from efficiently running this race. How many times has the preacher had to preach it so that the congregation has just been so filled up on everything in the world all week long that they're like that little baby that's had that snack before supper time. And you got to take that spoon and just pat them on that chin and make it look like an airplane and all of that. My goodness, we got to do calisthenics and we got to do everything else and you know, just order this and order that just to get the people to move. Oh, folks, it ought not be that way. I said it ought not be that way. If you got a spiritual diet that's got a desire for the things of God, when you come in the house of God, you'll come in with a mouth wide open and you'll say, "Feed me, preacher. Feed me, preacher. I gotta have more of the word. I gotta have more of the spirit. I gotta have more of the grace of God. Feed me, preacher. Feed me." But we're so full on everything else in this world. So full on everything else in this world. How can we lay off the extra weights? You can do it if you want to. We will only have this spiritual fitness if we practice spiritual discipline. Romans tells us in 6 and 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." And then he said in verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. If any man be in the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Paul said they're competing to receive a corruptible crown. We are competing for that crown that never fades away. I'm talking about that place in heaven that we hear the final judge say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I heard Brother Joe say, and he probably still says it, he's only going to say, "Well done," if you've done well. He's only going to say, "Well done." Oh, the only way one would desire to change if he becomes convicted in his current state. You can have more of him if you want to. The table is spread. I said, the table is spread. If you want to come and dine, come on. This altar's open tonight. I said, if you want to come and dine, come on. If you want it, you can have it. If you want it, you can have it. But if you don't want it, you're not going to have it. Everybody that will, come on and join us. Oh, Father God, we praise you tonight, God. Oh, God, we love you tonight, God. We love you tonight, God. Help me tonight, God. Help me tonight, God. Help me, God. Vessel of honor, I want to be. I realized I had strayed from the path you'd made, and I know that I'm unworthy, Lord, of thee. With tear-dimmed eyes I humbly pray, I reach out, Lord, today. Let thy sweet Holy Spirit fall on me. Touch me again with your Spirit.
touch me again with your love. Place your nail-scarred hands upon me. Set my eyes on the cross of Calvary and give me back the joy of living. Touch me again. Now break the chains, Lord, that have me bound. Set my feet on solid ground. Build a hedge about my life that I may stand. Oh, and if I stumble, Lord, today, pick me up, lest I stray. Walk with me, guide my feet, and hold to my hand. Touch me again.
The Holy Ghost tonight wants you to ask, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do?
Touch me
again. What shall we do? Hallelujah.
Oh, with your love, place your nail-scarred hands upon me.
Hallelujah.
Set my eyes on the cross of Calvary. Oh, and give me back.
While these are still praying, anybody need special prayer tonight?
Touch me again.
You just want to come, we'll anoint you. Lay hands on you for whatever needs you have.
The joy
praise God,
of living. Touch
me
again. As Jesus was speaking, some weren't believing. As he spoke of the Spirit and the ages to be, well, hearts were leaving when around him came sweeping. It was a breeze from the Spirit on his way out to me. Oh, I'm getting wind of a heavenly promise. Oh, it shall transcend from that prophet of old. It started blowing, though the weather's not showing. I'm getting wind of his Spirit in my soul. Now Jesus was here, was waiting with the others while praying, recalling the Lord's rest that he promised there on high. Well, the place started shaking. There was no chance mistaken. It was a gust of the Spirit as he came rushing by. Oh, and I'm getting wind of a heavenly promise. Oh, it shall transcend, hallelujah, that prophet of old. It started blowing, though the weather's not showing. I'm getting wind of his Spirit in my soul. Oh, I'm getting wind of a heavenly promise. Oh, it shall transcend from Jesus the Lord. It started blowing, though the weather's not showing. I'm getting wind of his Spirit in my soul. Yeah, I'm getting wind of his Spirit in my soul, Spirit in my soul. Amen. only healed far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners, he was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he's gonna call us someday to our home far away, where his glory forever will share. Oh, so I'll just cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
There's three things minimally that we must do to be disciplined in God and begin moving towards that place that he desires us to be and we desire to be. Once the Lord saves you, you got to find time to spend in his word. Got to read that word. Let him talk to your heart. You got to find time to pray and talk to him. Let him talk to you while you're meditating in him when you're done praying. And you must attend the house of God. I know people say, well, you don't really need to go to church to go to heaven. I'll say this, you got a lot better chance going to church getting there than you do not. And when the reward is so high, why wouldn't you want to take every chance that you had to make it happen? But if you don't do one of those three things, you're going to leave a spot for the enemy to come in. But if you make sure all of those are taken care of, you say, well, Brother Danny, what about living right? What about all these things? All that will take care of itself. Because when you read the word, it'll convict you. And you'll know to do right. When you come to church, your pastor will preach the word to you. Spirit will convict you. You know to live right. God talk to your heart about something. But just do those three things. You'll be spiritually fit. Fit for the master's use. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. Brother Joe, turn it over to you.